Thank you, Jesus. Our trust is in you. Where would we be without you? What can we do without you? The answer is nowhere and nothing. But in you, we know the awesomeness of power, of authority. And Lord, we come just the way we are, trusting you to do in us and with us what no man can do. Blessed be your holy name forever. Meet us here tonight and help us. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it so. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you took time to come tonight to reflect together on the Word of God and to experience the goodness of God together. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd like for you to come with me to the book of John, the 15th chapter. We are talking about this special feast called the Feast of Tabernacle. And as we talk about the Feast of Tabernacle, we're talking about two things. We're talking about God tabernacling with us and we tabernacling with God. Those two must come together because those two reverse ultimately the curse. When Adam sinned, the ground was cursed. Man was not cursed, but his ground was cursed. The woman was to give birth with pain. And the man was to lord over her. Those two things needed to be reversed. That the ground not be cursed and that the woman not birth in pain. Now, the woman came out of the man. And both were created in the same day and God called them the same name, Adam. It was man that called the woman Eve. And God accepted it. But as far as God is concerned, he called them Adam. The earth, instead of yielding its strength, was going to yield thorns and thistles. Instead of it yielding the benefits of itself to the man, was going to hold back. But Jesus, our Lord, came to reverse that aspect of unfruitfulness. When they built the boot of the tabernacle, they used plants. They didn't use leather. Plants. That was also to bring about the picture of something. Cut off plants cannot produce fruit. And when they saw the fruitfulness of God, the blessings of God, they were very aware by the limitation of the tabernacle around them that these things cannot produce anything. I'm surrounded by something that is not going to live. I must trust. What a perfect song. I will trust in you. I'm going to trust in the love of God. There is this passage of scripture that just stands out all by itself in the Gospel of John, but is one of the most important of all the teachings in the Gospel. It is found there in the 15th verse. It says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. He's a gardener. And I am a true vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Starts from the negative point. I am the true vine. Every branch in me must bear fruit. That's what I would expect the Lord to say. But it starts from the negative, because he wants to end that negative talk by showing how we are going to experience fruitfulness in him. I am the true vine. There's nothing wrong with me. My Father is the husbandman. He's the one who is the gardener. And he removes everything that attaches itself to me that is not true. Everything that attaches itself to me that is not going to bear fruit. My Father is the worker of the land. He's the gardener. He's the farmer. He's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Wow. He taketh away. Because that branch that is not bearing fruit is not representing me. Did you hear that? Anything that is not going to represent me, my Father, the husbandman, is cutting off. That's interesting. He taketh away. But then it says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Looks like the same thing. So everybody gets cut. But it depends on where the cut is. That which is taken away is cut all the way back. The one that is purged is just cut just enough so that it continues on to be part of the vine. Are you with me so far? But everybody gets caught. Everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to get caught. Praise the Lord. One is a curtain that takes you away, or the curtain that trims you so that you can continue stronger. Amen? You become thicker. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that it may bring forth more fruit. What is the difference? The difference is that the one that is cut off completely is not bearing fruit at all. The one that is purged bore fruit, and the cutting back is only to help it carry more fruit. Hallelujah. To be tough enough. Now, praise God. How is he accomplishing this? By his spoken word. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In other words, you are not corrupted. You are clean. You are clean. Someone say, I am clean. That word is the word that he used when he cleansed the lepers. The word is the word katarizo. Here the word you are clean is the word katharos. Whatever will make you leprous, in other words, not sensitive to my word has cleaned it out of you so that you stay cleansed and sensitive to hear, to experience my word. As believers, the word of God does not come to condemn us. The word of God comes to convict us. But it's not a conviction to condemnation, but a conviction to repentance. Praise the Lord. You know, so many people run away from God because they experience conviction. Oh, I was hearing the word of God and I feel really bad. Well, why are you feeling bad? Are you feeling bad and have you assigned to yourself condemnation? Or are you feeling bad about what you've just heard and you're saying, God, I repent. I'm so sorry. I made the wrong decision. Forgive me. What can I do? What can I do? How can I correct this situation? Is there something you need for me to do? That's the cleansing power of the Word of God coming in, challenging you. And at different stages of your life and my life, God hones in a little bit better. Let me put it this way. As you grow in faith, some things that were okay become, I shouldn't be doing that. You get it? No. Oh, you've been religious about that. You've just been hard on yourself. No, I shouldn't be doing that. That's not for me. It's not whether it is good or bad. It's that you are being cleansed. For where God is taking you to, there are things that other people can get away with. You don't know how many times I have complained about it. Lord,
He's getting away with it. Why can't I do that? You are not them. I have a different assignment for you. So you cannot do that. Huh? That's God purging you. God cutting you back. Because you are cleansed and you are being cleansed by the presence of God's word that is penetrating into your life. You cannot look at that. You cannot go to this place. You cannot drink this and you cannot eat that. And you cannot say this. But Lord, what is bad about me saying that? That's what I should say. No, that's not what you're saying. You are a priest. You are a prince. You're not a vagabond. Hallelujah. You cannot be the prime minister or the president and be F-bombing all over the place. That's not the talk that comes out of your mouth. You cannot be a Christian and say, I'm so upset, I'm going to just let it go. No, you can't. That's not you. Even an unbeliever knows, I thought you said you were a Christian. God has cleansed you. I'm so upset, I have to say whatever. No, you don't have to say everything. If you are in a different class, you take a hold of yourself. You possess your members. Because the word of God has been spoken into you so that you are cleansed because of where God is taking you. Hallelujah. How many times have people risen up to high levels of political life or their ministers or whatever, and somebody goes to bring a CD, a movie, a DVD, or some kind of stuff and said, what is this? Well, God is trying to protect you while you're growing up, so that people don't have anything to point at and say, what about this? It's not God trying to cram your style. It's God keeping you because of where he sees you going. Hallelujah. He sees you going somewhere. He has an assignment for your life. And therefore, he's saying, no, don't do that. No, don't go there. No, don't hang around that guy. Because 10 years from now, somebody's going to show a picture of you hanging around that guy and say, what connection did you have with this guy? And now your goose is cooked. Are we together? Amen. God cleansing us, sanctifying us, because he has a place he's taking us to. So he says, abide in me. Remember, one was bearing fruit and the other was not bearing fruit. So he says, abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. Say, abide in me and I in you. How is that possible? As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You cannot bear fruit except you abide in me. You stay in me. That's how you're going to bear fruit. Praise the Lord. So the first call is for us to abide in him so that we can bear fruit. And when we bear fruit, it means that the curse of unfruitfulness is already being addressed. Hallelujah. Praise God. He says, I am the vine. Goes back to verse 1. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If I'm not in you, you can do nothing. If I'm not in you, you can do nothing. If I'm not in you, you can do nothing. You cannot be fruitful. I have to be in you. But Lord, did you not just say to us, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me. Okay? I can't do anything if I don't abide in you. Now he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And the challenge to every one of us is that particular statement. Are you abiding in him? And is he abiding in you? We know this much. If he comes to abide in you, he doesn't intend to leave. The problem is, we don't stick with the program and abide in him. Let's go further. If a man abide not in me, meaning that it is possible that you do not abide in him, that one is cast forth as a branch. So that's the reason you don't bear fruit. Watch it. If a man abide not in me, not the fact that he is not abiding in you, but you not abiding in him, that's what is going to cause you not to bear fruit, which means he's going to have to cut you all the way back. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Oh, so that's how he abides in me. His words abide in me. So when you allow the word of God to stay in and with you, that's how God abides in you. But if you reject the word of God, he doesn't abide. He and his word are the same. Praise the Lord. In fact, the Bible says he holds his words above his name. That's why Lord, Lord does not count. Lord, Lord, oh Lord. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, shall have entrance into the kingdom. Entrance into the kingdom is not just a matter of not going to heaven. It's a matter of you not being able to receive anything out of the kingdom. You're not able to make your supplication. Apply and make a request effectively. Because you've not allowed the word of God. You're doing your own thing. If you are doing your own thing and it does not prick you in your heart that you're doing something wrong, you are in trouble. It's not about God condemning you. It's not about, oh, then you are not accepting the grace of God. No, no, no. There's got to be a conviction. If your heart is not convicting you, then your conscience is dead. That means it has not been cleansed, and dead consciences will not bear fruit to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. If you're doing something wrong, something's got to prick you there. If you're thinking wrong thoughts, something's got to check you here. Not based on what people say is okay, but based on what God says. The standard is God. Let me say that again. The standard is God, not man. Because man decides what is good today, and tomorrow they decide that something else is good. But God is constant. He is the true north. Amen? Even true north for us is changing. But the true north of God is constant. Hello? Men gather them and toss them into the fire. So he says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, because you have entrance. Well, Pastor, I thought the entrance is we come boldly by the blood. Yes. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. But if you don't have the marker of the word of God, the angels of God will not respond to you. In fact, they will kick you out. They respond to the word of God. Hallelujah. They carry out the word of God. And you've got to allow that word to abide in you. How do you allow the word of God to abide in you? By you constantly speaking it forth, because the word of God that goes forth out of your mouth comes back to you. It just goes full circle like that. It just goes through circle, full circle, just like that. You say it, I thank you that this is your word concerning me. I give you praise. I worship you. Thank you, Lord, that your prophetic word is activated in my life today in the blessed, glorious name of Jesus Christ. And through those prophetic words of God that you are allowing to abide in you, because every day you are reminding yourself of that word, that's how you fight a good warfare. Hallelujah. It is about you tabernacling with God and God tabernacling with you. And how is God tabernacling with you? By his word. And who is that word? Jesus. And Jesus is the one who's living inside of you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. What you will. In essence, when the word of God is inside of you and you are relating with the word of God, you begin to have the mind of Christ, the mind of God. And so you're not going to be asking for crazy stuff that have no connection with the things of God. You're going to ask righteously. Praise God. So when you pray, you're not praying, I'm not sure if it is the will of God. No, you're sure. Because whatever you are praying, you understand this, that God is a God who gives you the desires of your heart. Amen? God gives me the desires of my heart. Now, when we talk about God giving us the desires of our heart, we're not talking about you desired this, so therefore God gives you that which you desired. It includes that, but it's not primarily that. It is that God gives you the desire to desire what you desired. Amen? God gives you the desire to desire what you desired. So the desire that you desired is according to His will already, because He gave you the desire to desire it so that in desiring it, you receive what you desired. Glory be to God. Amen. That's clear, right? Lord, I need a house. He gave you the desire to desire that. Praise the Lord. So now, when you say, Lord, I need a house, and I thank you for that house, voila, it comes. Because that's what He has placed in your heart. Because it is time for you to get it. Oh, I don't know if you're hearing. It will help you not to get frustrated. Because you're not asking for things ahead of time. Because God will not give it to you ahead of time to desire it. When it is time, you see, a pregnant woman doesn't have the sensation that she should give birth until the fullness of time. She just carries her pregnancy and takes picture of it. Hallelujah. In the crazy world that we live today, they are putting it on Facebook and everywhere. It used to be that is secret. No. But when it is time, and it's not happening, this baby, you must come out now. You must come out now. One way or the other, you're going to come out. They start running up and climbing up and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, so that they can go through the process of birthing the baby. It's the fullness of time. When it comes to the time and you are ready, you cannot help it. Everything starts moving and aligning itself to make certain that you receive your delivery. Hallelujah. But when you are looking at other people, not the Word of God, but what other people are doing and what other people are saying, you become covetous. And now you start worrying yourself about something that is you're not ready for. So many people are struggling and striving to get something that God is not ready for you to have because you are not ready to have it yet. But you just want it now. You want it now. No, you're not old enough to get it yet. Settle yourself down. Relax. You're not Johnny. Everybody gets their portion at the time they're supposed to get it. When it's your turn, nobody's going to stop it. Let people try to hide you somewhere, you'll be located. The Bible says when it was time to anoint Saul to be king and Saul was hiding behind the stuff, they said, nobody here. Where is he? Oh, he's hiding behind his stuff. They went to collect him. When it is time, it is time. Do you understand? So stop worrying. Relax. Let the word of God tabernacle inside of you. What is the word of God? I will bless you. I will multiply you. Nothing is happening yet. Relax. Oh, life is running faster than I would like it. The time is clicking. It's going to be too late. Well, there was a woman in her 90s that gave birth. It's never too late when God makes the decision. The thing is, we must rest in the goodness of God and understand that there is a fullness of time. And at the fullness of time, when Jesus was supposed to be born and John or Zechariah was about to mess it up, God shut his mouth up. You're not going to stop. It's fullness of time. And what are you trying to say? Shut the mouth. We don't want you saying nothing. Because it's time. And we're not going to entertain any delays. Shut up. Because you see, you can, with your own mouth, when the word of God doesn't abide in here, I mean the employed word of God, you can, with your own mouth, disannul things that are supposed to happen and generate unfruitfulness. When you come in close, I've seen it happen so many times. People come in close to their miracle, to their turnaround, and that's when they mess up. And then they have to go around again. And around again. And around again. But we've gone around this mountain for too long. It's time to have entrance into the manifold blessings of God. That's why God will cut off people and things that will not cause you to be fruitful. Out. Hallelujah. God had to take a lot out so that Abraham can come into the wider range of what he had promised him. That's when you need to celebrate. Please hear me seriously. You need to celebrate when certain people are removed from your life. And don't cry about it. What are you crying about? That person, that thing is what is causing you problems. It got to go. Snip, snip, snip. No matter how good and leafy it is, the purpose of the branch is not more leaves. It is to bear fruit. Hello? Praise God. And sometimes people can be in your life that are just leaves, but not producing the fruit that you need. Just like Jesus needed a fruit from the fig tree. And when he arrived there, the fig tree, the whole tree, did not produce fruit. Well, in the natural, there was a reason. It was not its season. But it was Jesus' season to eat. He's hungry. And so he has the ability, as the word of God, to change the timing. Praise the Lord. But if fruit was still stuck, or the tree was still stuck in the mindset of, I cannot because it's not my season. It says, since you say it's not your season, so let it be unto thee. Nobody's going to eat fruit out of you ever. But meanwhile, Jesus, our Lord, wanted to change his season. And I believe that God is changing the season for his people. Amen? He says in his word that because of the activities in the world, even the elect could be deceived. And so he's going to shorten time. But when he shortens time, he speeds up time so that you accomplish so much more at a limited time, because everything has to be complete. Praise the Lord. Everything has to be complete. He's not going to come without everything being completed. The glory of God is not going to come until the last curtain is hung. And I know you've been hearing me talking about the curtain. I will talk about that some other day. Then the glory of God comes. Nothing before time. But in time, God will do what is right. Somebody shout hallelujah. There's a song we used to sing, everything is beautiful in its own time. He says here in verse 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified. This is how God is glorified. The word is doxazo. This is how God is magnified, that ye bear much fruit. God is glorified when we are bearing much fruit. And then he says, so shall ye be my disciples. Huh? If you continue in my word, then shall you be my what? Disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the word of God, right? So when God says here, our Lord says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Remember in John 8, certain Jews believed on him. To move you past the place of believing in God. And the Bible tells us that even the devil believes in God and trembles. To move you from the place of just believing in God to being a disciple. That's God's agenda. That's what's going to make the difference, that you and I become disciples. And to become those disciples that God is glorified in, he says, it is in the capacity of you being able to bear much fruit. Now, when we talk about bearing much fruit, we're not just talking about being fruitful and that being the bearing of fruit, like the bearing of children. But we're talking about the bearing of the capacity of carrying. Do you understand what I mean? So, you know, if you bought a truck or a car, there is the capacity that it has to carry weight. Yes? Okay, that kind. The capacity for it to pull. God wants to give to us capacity. And part of that capacity is in him purging us. Things go and it cuts you back. It goes and it cuts you back. It goes and it cuts you back. But every time it cuts you back, you get thicker and thicker and thicker, then he stops cutting you back. Because now your ability to bear is there. When you go through trials, it's God helping to cut you back. Sometimes the cutting back of God occurs when you fall flat on your face and now you are humbled and you recognize, without God, I can't do anything. If you're still mouthing off, acting like you know everything, be certain there's going to be a cutting. Something is about to happen to you, not just to humiliate you, but to humble you. Because God is not in the business of humiliating anybody. He just wants to humble you, bring you to that place where you understand, I'm not all that. He's all that. And because of him being all that, I get to participate under the shadow of his grace. Amen? Okay. Keep doing that. And you'll find out real soon, you're too big for yourself. You get trimmed. You get trimmed. So tabernacling with God is coming into that place where you allow God to reign supreme inside of you, and you are in him. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So we know two things now. We've got to continue in his word, and we've got to continue in his love. Ephesians 3 says, be rooted and grounded in the love of God, so that you are strengthened in your inner man, so that the fullness of the Godhead can come and abide in you. Are we together? We've got to continue in the love of God, in how we deal with each other. Just love. What is this love, this agape love of God? It is love in spite of you. That God loved you while you were yet a sinner, and he still loved you. That means God is going to bring people your way that are not lovable. And you've got to love them. Praise God. You just got to love them. And if you're not loving them, trim. And when you come through and love people, not because of what you're going to get from them. Hello? You see, because it's easy to love people that you're going to get something from. And God says, no, that's not what I'm asking you about. I want you to be able to love people that you're not going to get anything from. So love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Continue loving. Just continue loving. And as you continue loving, fruitfulness, fruitfulness, fruitfulness. This is how you abide in me and I in you. You continue in my love, that's how I abide in you. You continue in my word, that's how I abide in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. How am I going to abide in His love and continue in His love? Keep my commandments. Obey me. I tell you to do this. Do it. I ask you for this. Do that. That's why your greatest demonstration of growth in the love for the things of God is that you go beyond natural limitations or even a general obedience to the Word of God to the place where you have an interrelationship with God and God can ask you directly for something. He speaks to you directly. He's not talking to Johnny. What about Johnny? No, there's no talk about Johnny. This is you and me. Forget about Johnny. If I want to deal with Johnny, I would talk about Johnny. But right now, I'm talking to you. Are you going to obey my word to you? You see, some things are just so personal. And it's part of the training, the process of training you, of training me. There are things God will ask of me that He didn't ask of anybody else. This is what I want from you. And it was meant just for me, not anybody else, just me. I don't make it a doctrine for everybody. Hello? God can come to you today and say, listen, I want you to shut your television off. Don't you watch television again. Hey? What is so wrong with that? I need to know what the news is saying. I like to watch some movies, some comedy, some whatever. And He says, shut it off. Guess what you need to do? Shut it off. But because God said for you to shut it off, does not mean that you now go after everybody and say, ah, the Lord says, shut that devil vision off. He didn't tell everybody else. He just told you. Why? Because He wants to spend that time with you and open up your eyes to see into a deeper realm. Or whatever the reason is. In fact, sometimes it might have no reason other than He just wants to see you obey. And as soon as you start obeying it, He says, okay. It's okay. You can watch TV. You say, no, He won't do that. Well, He did it to Abraham. He promised Abraham his son. The son is here. And then He says to Abraham, bring that son, sacrifice the son. And the man takes his son and puts him on the altar, takes the knife and is ready to kill his son. And God says, hold it, hold it. Don't do that. There's a ram caught right behind you. For the Bible says, he looked up and he saw behind him a ram caught. Did God mean for him to kill his son? But did Abraham know? All Abraham knew was this: God gave me this son. If I kill this son, he will raise him back up. Because he said that this son is going to be the blessing. So I continue with the word of God, and therefore I obey God now. Even though it seems contrary to that, because I know that God has the power to turn the situation around. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. So continue in my love and obey my commandments. That's how you're going to abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So did Jesus have the choice not to abide in His love? Absolutely. How? By not obeying the command of His Father. Do you have the choice not to obey? Absolutely. But what's the end result of it? You will not bear fruit, and you'll be caught all the way back. God is asking us to tabernacle with Him and He with us. Amen? And this tabernacling has to do with the walk of love. Praise the Lord. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So I'm telling you this about the key of abiding, so that you can live a joyful life, not a depressed life. I know some people will be upset and all wound up. How can you say this? But I'll say it anyway. It is not God's will for you to live a depressed life. Amen? He says here that you can come into a place where His joy remains in you and overflows. No matter what the circumstances. And so the first thing that I need to do, and it's so easy for us to be self-righteous and say, I'm doing everything right. Nobody does everything right except by God's grace. If I am feeling beaten down, the God who knows everything about me, my physical makeup, my chemical makeup, because we are chemistry happening. You are an embodiment of chemistry. He knows my chemical balance. And God can correct whatever needs to be corrected. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil is trying to mess with me, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. That may be true. But on the basis of what? What gives the enemy the right to torment me? When God's word says, I have spoken to you about these things. What things? You abiding in me and I abiding in you. You continuing in my word and you continuing in my love. This is how you're going to have joy. This is how you're going to have answered prayers. I didn't say that. He said it. Can we please go and argue with the Word of God and tell God, I think you're wrong. You know, my doctor said. Yes, my doctor said. Is that not what we do most of the time? That's how we push back on what we are not experiencing when we don't want to face up with the realities. My psychologist said, my counselor said, my doctor said, the pharmacist said. But what did God's word say? And are you continuing in that word? And are you continuing in His love? And recognizing God loves me. God loves me. Depression, you cannot take a hold of my life. God is not depressed, and His word says that I can remain in Him, and His joy is going to remain in me, and that joy shall come to fullness. I receive the fullness of the Word of God. I continue in the Word of God. God loves me. Satan, get away from me. That's what we do. We take a hold of that word and we fight with that word. He says, resist the devil. When you've humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God, resist the devil, and the devil has no choice but to flee from you. I'm not going to be terrorized by the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. Do believers not get depressed? Don't they get perplexed? Paul gives us ample reason to say, man, I've been depressed to such an extent I didn't want to live. He says, but you know what? It didn't work. The devil's agenda did not work with my life. I was raised up by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, have I been beaten down? I've been left for dead so many times. And after they left, I got up and went home. You can't kill somebody that's already dead. I'm already dead in Christ. Hallelujah. And the one that's living in me is Christ. And he can't die. He died once, and I'm living unto him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as we come closer to God to abide, he says, as you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. So he says, cleanse. We go back to the very beginning of what we started with. You've been cleansed by my word. So he says, cleanse your hands. The way you do things. Ye sinners, purify your hearts. Ye double-minded. A double-minded person cannot expect to receive anything from God. And I'm talking to you about me abiding in you and you abiding in me, so that whatever you ask the Father for, you'll get it. But if you're double-minded, believing in two things equally, well, I believe in God. You see, a double-minded person is not somebody who's just jumping from place to place. They believe in God. And if God is not working, they believe in whatever answers they think they can get. God says, make up your mind. Are you going to stick with me and wait and see the goodness of God? Or are you going to be jumping back and forth? What do you want to do? Even though God tarries. Luke chapter 18. We'll wrap with this. Luke 18. In Luke 18, the Lord is talking about a woman, a widow, who was in a city. And in that city, there was a judge that had no care for God or man. But she needed something. But this judge had no regard. So what did she do? She started bugging. Hallelujah. There is a place where nagging is important. Praise the Lord. This woman got after this judge that wasn't scared of anybody. Wasn't scared of man, wasn't scared of God, but a woman scared him. a woman scared the daylights out of this man. And he says, even though I don't care, this woman is about to finish me up. Yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her less by her continual coming. She wearied me. This woman is about to expose me that I'm just pretending to be tough. She's about to break me down. I better do something. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, though he seems to not be doing anything? Isn't God going to, just like that judge? Did you hear what the judge said? I tell you that he will avenge them how? Speedily. You know what? Yeah, that's speedified. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find people who are continuing in the word? Or people that have given up? And we are about to see, and this is a strange thing. May we not be part of those that fall away. That is not our portion. But there is going to be a falling away. Especially when man creates a man. Did you hear what I said? I've been repeating this again and again because it is time. God told me about this in 89. And I've not mentioned this until it's time. Many are going to go away from God and think, this church thing, this prayer thing, this... No, I think this is working. Let me join this gang. Well, you will join that gang if you don't continue in the Word of God. The great idol is going to be erected. Bow down and worship him. If you don't, you're going into the lion's den. If you don't, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And then we'll see what you're going to do. COVID came, and so many people collapsed. I was talking to a pastor today. I said, how is your church doing? He said, COVID drove all of them away. And it is a cry all around the world. How can COVID, the virus, drive you away? Because you're living in fear and God has not given you the spirit of fear. You're allowing the devil to run your life. Well, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to make the decision on what you're going to do. When the government comes, and you say you believe in giving and receiving, and the government comes and shuts down a church, says, I take your capacity to give receipts to people. Are you going to still give then? Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah, a lot of amen, amen, amen. Yes. Let that amen be the truth. Because when it hits, I didn't say it. We'll find out. Whether you give because of the receipt, or you give because you love the Lord, and you're sowing for souls, and you're believing that God will bless you exceedingly far beyond anything you dare ask or think. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll get to know. There were the Lalonde brothers years ago, about 20-something years ago, the two brothers that had a prophetic ministry, and the government went after them and pulled their capacity. And that was the end of that ministry. They were on television, I guess, every week or every day, teaching on prophetic words. And the government went after them, pulled their capacity, their non-profit capacity, which meant they could not receive anymore, and gone. Where are those believers that used to support them? Where did they go? They certainly did not believe what they were talking about. And that's going to happen. They're going to find a church here, a church there, and pull and watch. And if the complaint does not overwhelm them, they'll go after every, especially evangelical churches that are preaching the gospel. They'll go after them and pull it. That's when we'll find out whether you're able to honor God fully. May God protect us all. May we all continue in the word of God. Not because we're following the mandates of men, but we are following through with the faithfulness of God and extending love one to the other. Amen? That means loving people, whether you think they deserve it or not. Just love. Support the vision of God. When he comes, shall he find us still faithful? Or in essence, shall he find us abiding in him? That's where the difference is. And tomorrow, we'll continue. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you just as we are. We believe your word. Well, Lord, take us past the place of believing to the place of knowing. Take us past the place of believing to the place of growing in abiding faith. Your word says that those who dwell, who abide in your secret place, have a totally different experience. Lord, we want to come into an experience in you that forever changes us, so that our very thought life and our actions and our attitudes glorify you. We belong to you. And we say, Lord, help us to abide. Help us to continue in your love. Help us to continue in your word. Help us, O God, to be obedient to your directives, to do what you're calling us to do. So, Lord, O God, we can enter into the joy of our Lord and God forever. Thank you, Lord. It is so done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I thank God once again for the privilege accorded me to share the word of God with us. May we be strengthened as his people. May we continue as his people. Because as we have been saying this last few days, it is a challenge. when there's so many holes surrounding your tabernacle? It's not a full wall. It's made out of branches. And every breeze blows through, the dust blows through, and things happen. But you are obeying God because God says, I want you in that sukkah. We are, in a sense, in a sukkah. And there are challenges coming. But the faithfulness of God is able to sustain everyone whose faith is in the Lord. And I know I'll see you. We'll see each other on the other side of every tribulation that comes into the world. Amen? Together, knit together by the wisdom of God, continuing, encouraging each other. You see your brother tripping, you grab them and you drag them with you. Say, brother, come on, let's go. My leg hurts. I know. I'll try to carry you a little bit. And you try to carry them. Oh, no, it hurts. Okay, what are we going to do? Let's get a stretcher. Whatever we need to do for each other, we're going to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. We must love each other to that extent. Pray each other through. Amen? Because there are many who are trying but can't help themselves. So someone needs to help them. And it is love that helps us help. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us honor God with our giving. God has assigned to us the capacity to honor Him in this wise. Let's come. Bless the name of the Lord. Mama extends her greetings and her love. She's not able to make it today. But she's with us. Amen. I want to thank God for the audio video department. They've been here quite a segment today because we did a crusade this morning and did another message this morning, and I left here and went to the hospital to do some visitation. Just got home and came straight away down here. Oh, well, I had a 30-minute nap. That was good. Needed it. Hallelujah. But I want to thank God for the workers in this house. Everyone that is serving, I celebrate you and thank you on behalf of the Lord. One day, God is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? Hallelujah. For those that are faithful in being part of the service, thank you, because that encourages me. If you didn't come, I'll be here by myself. I might preach very good, but... Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I've preached with just the cameraman here, and I go at it. Well, so it's not a new thing, but it's good to see people. Amen. Hallelujah. Did that for so many years that when COVID happened, we were used to it. Amen. It didn't matter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm going to let you go in just a moment, but before I do, I want you to rise. Let us pray. Father, behold your sons and your daughters. You called, and they came. just like the woman that was bent over for 18 years that you called, that came to you. Your word says you laid your hands on her and she straightened out. Lord, whatever area of our lives that we've been bent over, we've tried to be free but couldn't be free, I ask, Father, this day in the name of Jesus, that you will do a work of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, oh God, that your power be released and that grace sufficient will cause, oh God, deliverance to take place, just like that woman bent over, Jesus, trying all of her life to be straightened out and could not. Jesus. This day in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that there be a straightening out in Jesus' name. Satan, loose your hold. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God is good all the time. Well, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Receive every benefit God has for you. Remember, you are blessed and highly favored of the Lord.